Good morning, everyone. I'm Ellen A. from Union, Missouri, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I'm glad everybody got here. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off. Just a reminder before we start the meeting. And this workshop goes for 1.5 hours. Each speaker will have 10 minutes, and then we'll open it up to the floor for sharing. And we ask that you limit your remarks to about 2 minutes, because there's a lot of people. And so we will open this meeting with a moment of silence. And all who care to join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The suggested Al-Anon preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. Our anonymity statement. There may be some who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. If so, we respectfully ask that no Al-Anon, Al-Ateen, or AA speaker or member be identified by full name or picture in published or broadcast report of our meeting. The assurance of anonymity is essential to our efforts to help other families of alcoholics, and our tradition of anonymity reminds us to place principles above personalities. And this meeting is being recorded. Okay. Our topic today is a guide to the family of the alcoholic. We have three speakers, and we will start out with Terry R. from Kansas.
Okay. Hi, my name is Terry Rogers, and I am a very grateful member of this wonderful fellowship of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen family groups. Hi. And I'm from Wichita, Kansas. My home group is the First Tradition Group in Wichita, and you're all welcome. They send their love to you. I've got about 2 hours worth of notes here and 10 minutes. And Al-Anon has taught me to look at the positive and realize that's better than 10 minutes worth of notes in 2 hours. So we can look at that. I do have to say that I'm just having a wonderful time this weekend. I've never been to an international, and this is just amazing. And that meeting last night, oh, my goodness, that serenity prayer, that was just mystical to me. I mean, that was just incredible. The topic is A Guide for the Family of the Alcoholic, and that is one of our pamphlets. And I know that when I first got into this program, then I got a bunch of those pamphlets at my first meeting, and I took them home. And for me, I got into this program before my husband did. And I better, let me give you the stats right away before, because I may not get to them. But I've been in the program since January of 89, so I've got about 21 years in Al-Anon. And my husband has 18 years of sobriety. We'll be 19 in October, and we have 4 kids, and they have all been in Al-Ateen, and my oldest is kind of going to Al-Anon meetings every once in a while, and she knows where that program is. I have another daughter who's here who has successfully transitioned from Al-Anon to from Alateen to Al-Anon. And then I have the other two are still in Alateen. And so we are just that was truly one of my biggest blessings, is that we are a family in recovery. We really are. We are a healing family. But at the time that I first got into the program, there wasn't any sobriety in the home, and so these pamphlets were like contraband, you know. I kind of read them in the dark, and I just read every word, and I remember the 20 questions, you know, that one? I was, yes, 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 yes. But it was the main thing I got out of these and out of that meeting was hope, because I had lost all hope within this disease of alcoholism. I mean, any hope that things would get any better, which meant any hope that he would get any better, which meant any hope that the drinking would get any better. I mean, I just didn't have any hope at all of that. And these things kind of gave me some hope that things could be better. You know, it is a family disease, and the longer that I'm in this program, I realize how insidious it is throughout the family. Now, I really thought for me that my connection with alcoholism began and ended with him, because there was no drinking in my family. My parents were social drinkers, and it was not a problem. I was not raised in an alcoholic home. But the longer that I've been in this program and started looking back at your roots a little bit, because that's what you do after you do those four steps and you get be in the program longer, I realized that my mother was probably the adult child of an alcoholic. And so, you know, I had patterns of behavior such as avoiding confrontation at all cost, and peace at any cost, and caretaking, and some of those things that I got, that I just brought in prime for any relationship. And the alcoholic was the one that it shined the most in, I think, those character things that I brought into it. This guide here it's a wonderful little thing, and it's nice sometimes. It's good for newcomers, but it's good for long-timers, too, to go back, kind of back to basics sometimes. But this had a list of do's and don'ts that I didn't even realize were in there. I mean, I'd forgotten they were in there, but this is the one I love. Don't try to follow this pamphlet as a rule book. They knew that I would read this, because for me, everything was black and white. You know, it was, I so appreciated somebody yesterday. I heard them say that, you know, there were 360 points of view, you know, but they had the one point of view. And that's the way I was, you know. It was just the keeper of the truth and justice, you know. There I was. And so I would have treated anything as, this is, you know, my way or the highway. I thought I'd just take a few lines out of this thing. It says, it is appalling how well the alcoholic controls the family. Is that not true? I mean, that was so true for me that, 5 minutes already, that there was not any abuse in our family at all. There was, you know, not verbal abuse, not physical abuse. There was not a lot of drama at all. No police chases or broken chairs or anything like that. But there was a lot of drama in my own head, you know. My mind was obsessed with the alcoholic. What was he doing? When was he going to be home? Was he going to be drunk, or just drunk? You know, you had all those different things, and so much of the obsession was the past, and reliving old resentments and kind of reworking them to where they would have come out differently if I had said this and if I had done that, and looking at the future and what I would do if this happened, and all of this kind of stuff. And in all of that, you know, I always, in all those scenarios, I always acted differently than I actually would. I was always more assertive or more aggressive or, you know, said those things. And I could never do that stuff, and I hated myself because I could never be the kind of person that I was in all of this reworking and this obsession. You know, I have a friend that says, introduces herself as a recovering doormat. And I can relate to that because, and you know, it's a good thing that I never was that sarcastic, aggressive person that I was in my head. I mean, I'm, you know, looking back now, I'm glad I wasn't, but I hated myself because I couldn't be the kind of person that I wanted to be. Back to the guide, what it says here is, the place to begin recovery with alcoholism in the family is with yourself. And that is what Al-Anon has given me, is that focus on myself, you know, that ability to look at my stuff and my business and not worry about him. It gave me the tools of detachment and to realize that if he was in a crappy mood or, you know, if he was mad, it didn't have to be about me. Because I always thought it was all about me or that I had to do something about it. And it didn't have to be. It taught me how to set boundaries. And, you know, we've had some meetings in our home group, and I realized that a lot of newcomers don't realize about boundaries. And they will say, you know, I set a boundary that he can't yell at me anymore. And I say, you know, a boundary is what you will do. It's not what he will do. A boundary, like, you know, set a boundary, I am not going to give you any money anymore. Now, you can ask for it all you want. I can't control your behavior. But I can, a boundary is what I'm going to do, you know. So we've had to have some meetings on that kind of thing. But that's Al-Anon has taught me that. It's given me those tools, the tools of gratitude and you know, that idea of acting as if. That was a lifesaver for me because I didn't really have much gratitude. I didn't think there was much to be grateful for. But acting as if, looking at the end of the day, finding things to thank God for and acting as if I was grateful really helped me develop that higher power and that concept of that higher power. I just started getting better and better as I walked in the program, as I worked in the program. We still good? How much? Oh my goodness. I'm going to tell a real fast story that'll probably take more than 30 seconds. But, you know, there was a point that, you know, I used to do all these scenarios in my head, daydreamings and I remember driving back from, out of town one time, and he was passed out, and I was dreaming of his funeral. Oh, I just love to dream about his funeral, you know. And I was all in black, and everybody was feeling sorry for me, and you know, what a martyr I was, because I just loved to be a martyr. And, you know, the preacher would be up there talking about what a saint I was to be putting up with him all this time and stuff, and I realized that the preacher probably wouldn't be talking about me at all. He'd probably be talking about the deceased. And, you know, at that time, he was miserable in his disease. I mean, anybody could look at that and see that he was miserable. And one of the things that Al-Anon gives you is that beginning ability to have some compassion, to have some understanding that this was a disease and that this wasn't just adolescent behavior, that it was a disease. And I started thinking, you know, I should be a better wife to him. I really should. I should be a better wife. And it hit me that, because I've been in the program a little bit, that I could be the best wife in the world and he'd still be miserable. And that I could not make him happy. I couldn't be the source of his happiness. But I was still driving down the road, and the next thought hit me is that he could not be the source of my happiness either. And that was a true spiritual awakening for me, that I had to quit waiting around for him to get sober for me to get happy. That I had to find my happiness myself in my life. And you know, that was a real change for me, and started, you know, working on myself and going towards what I wanted and my own happiness and taking care of the kids and putting one step in front of the other. Now, he did achieve sobriety, and you know, God has just dumped blessings on our home. It's not that we still don't have problems and we still don't deal with them, but oh my goodness, we all have a program that can help us through all of those bad times and focus on the good times, and there's so many good times. There's so many good times. Well, I'm sure I'm past my time, aren't I? So I better let you go, but thank you for listening. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry. Our next speaker is Carol P. from Fort Myers, Florida. And
good morning. My name is Carol, and I am from Fort Myers, Florida. I have to think when somebody says, where are you from? Because I was born and raised in Wisconsin. I lived in Tucson, Arizona for 5 years. I then moved to Minneapolis for a year, and then I spent the majority of my life in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I've only been from Fort Myers, Florida for less than 2 years, but I'm glad to be there. And Al-Anon is alive and well there. Thank you. This is truly an honor, a privilege, and an opportunity to be able to share some experience and my hope. When I got to this program, it was my last resort. I did not know anything about the family disease of alcoholism, nor did I know that I played a part in it. But I did know that I had my second husband who I could not control him either, and I knew there was a problem. The first meeting that I went to, you know, the literature was out, the books were there, and I looked at the books, but at that time we only had the two daily readers. And, you know, courage to change, that was pretty threatening, to change, courage to change. So I settled on ODAT, you know, the one day at a time. That was easier for me to bring home because they had a price tag on them. But, you know, all those pamphlets were free. So I took every pamphlet that I could possibly get. You know, this is one of the pamphlets, The Guide to the Family of the Alcoholic. Very interesting. I found out that the alcoholic has two weapons, the ability to arouse anger and the ability to arouse anxiety. Well, I identified with that. That validated some of my behavior. I also read in here that the person closest to the alcoholic probably needed more help and counseling than the alcoholic. You know, well, that was me, and I did. I was ready. He also said about begin with self and the do's and the don'ts. Well, the do's were very easy. I could do everything I could do to learn about this disease and about my part in it. I learned to change my attitudes. Now, then there was this list of don'ts. Well, that was not that easy. It took me a lot longer to be able to do the don'ts. And sometimes I still have problems with the don'ts. Sometimes I find it hard to not blame, although maybe I won't do it verbally, but in my head I will. Scold. I still like to scold. To lecture, because, you know, I know everything. And then there's another thing about it says, don't believe everything the alcoholic says. Well, I remember a speaker saying, how can you tell if an alcoholic's lying? Well, their lips are moving. And, you know, I want so much to believe and trust that what the alcoholics in my life are telling me is the truth, that I sometimes neglect to realize that they are an alcoholic. And maybe they're not telling the exact truth. This pamphlet was not the only pamphlet I picked up. One of the other ones that was my favorite was Merry-Go-Round of Denial. And when I read that pamphlet, I went, oh my gosh. Because you see, at that time, here's where my geographical cures come in. We lived on Carousel Circle. And I found that, well, I really didn't find that quite amusing. I found that quite revealing. As this disease progressed in my family, you know, it was time, okay, we need another house, we need a bigger house. There was a new development in town called Carousel Estates. And I thought, oh, this sounds great. So we moved. We were one of the first ones in this development. And I watched the whole development, you know, build up. And I would go around and around in a circle. And I found it very difficult to leave that circle. And when I saw this merry-go-round of denial, I thought, whoa, this is it. And this is the house that where I lived when I found Al-Anon. And it took several years. I referred to this house as the house of anger because there was so much anger and hatred in that house. When we finally, you know, my recovery took off and it was time to move, I thought. And we moved to a larger home and higher ground. I wanted to be closer to my higher power and oversee everything. And so we did move to another development that was higher up, and literally higher up. You know, I always had this question. I heard Terry say it, too. I did not grow up in an alcoholic home. I wondered, why was I so attracted to alcoholics? Well, then along came our third daily reader, Hope for Today. And when I read that page in there on page 313, it says, why am I so attracted to alcoholics? Well, it says in there also that my maternal grandfather liked to drink, which he did, and that my mother had a lot of qualities that she learned of growing up in home with them that I learned from her, especially those four M's, the martyring, you know, manipulation, mothering, and managing. And I had all of those qualities. Well, then it was like it all made sense. This is why, you know, I'm where I'm at. You know, God knew more about me than I did. And when I came into program, my children were still quite young. I didn't know what was going to happen in the future, but God did. God knew that my daughter was going to come to me and say, Mom, I know you go to Al-Anon. Can I go with you? I need to go to a meeting. And she did. She is in Al-Anon. My middle son had fathered a child when he was still in high school. And because they were still young, did not know that the mother of my granddaughter would take a liking to drinking. And this son has been so affected by growing up in an alcoholic home. But God knew I was going to need this program. And then my youngest son, God knew that he was going to grow up and be an alcoholic and a drug addict. And, you know, so when this happened, I had Al-Anon. Al-Anon was there for me, and I could be a support to my family, to my children, as well as my husband, who, incidentally, after I'd been in Al-Anon for about 2 years, I did issue an ultimatum to him that he had a choice, either to get help for himself or else. And he knew what the or else meant. I had a plan. I could not tell him to stop drinking because I kind of liked some personalities when he was drinking, like the one where he got real nice and the one where he would sort of pass out, go to sleep, and was quiet and didn't bother me. So anyways, today, you know, I as soon as I moved to Fort Myers, I got involved in Al-Anon there. I go to Al-Anon meetings everywhere, and I'm always picking up new literature, picking up more literature to pass on. In fact, yesterday I met somebody who asked me about Al-Anon, and I happened to have one of these pamphlets, and I passed it on to her. And I try to carry this message. Al-Anon has been a big support to me. My son, my middle son, who is not an alcoholic, was diagnosed on February 1st with testicular cancer. And this journey, these last few months, been really challenging. He is going to be having surgery July 13th. And, you know, when this came up, there is no program for parents of adult children with cancer. But Al-Anon is there. And Al-Anon's been there for me. And it's been such a support. And I have leaned on this program more than ever. You know, I need this program more today to live than I did, you know, 18 years ago when I first came in. Thank you all for being here. God bless.
Thank you, Carol. Our last speaker this morning is Lynn B. from Houston, Texas.
I'm always the short one. I am a member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Fellowship of Al-Anon and Al-Ateen, and my name is Lynn Bennett. And I hear a lot of people in this program talk about their qualifier, which I guess is their spouse or their child or their parent or whatever. And I have all those qualifiers, but I'd like to tell you about my qualifications, which began long before I had any of those qualifiers in my life. I can't really tell you that my grandfather was an alcoholic because he never called himself one, but his drinking caused our family problems. My dad was in the same situation. My stepdad came along. He did call himself an alcoholic. He just didn't choose to get any help. I have a sister that's out there, been in and out of AA and NA for many years, but she's out there because she doesn't have a problem. We all have a problem with her, but she doesn't. And I have a daughter that's in recovery. And my first husband, I don't think, was an alcoholic. He did drink. I think he just had a lot of family mental problems. And that marriage lasted 2 kids, and I was gone. And then I married my first alcoholic. If you're in here because you're fairly new to Al-Anon and you thought a guide to the family of alcoholics would maybe give you some hints, please read that pamphlet because it will. And if you're here because you're an old-timer, I hate that word, let's use long-timers, long-timers, and you need a refresher course like I do today, then welcome to this little session that we have going on here. I will tell you that it's been unnecessary for me to pop the top off of a six-pack of Budweiser and pour it down the drain since March the 19th of 1987. And for that, me and most of my family are truly grateful. And I've never met Terry before, but I think I need to talk to her after this session because she picked all the points of that little pamphlet that I would have talked about. So thank you. I think the things that helped me, I got here because my second husband went through a treatment center after 15 years of marriage and me telling him every day, I think you're an alcoholic, and him saying, no, I'm not, I don't sleep under the bridge, my paycheck goes in the bank, I know some of you have heard all that, you know, we don't have any problems, it's all in your head. And we had 5 children, and his drinking caused our family a lot of problems. And when he decided that he needed help, I got kind of scared. And I went through a lot of the things that that pamphlet talks about, that anger and resentment, because, you know, he got to AA. He didn't have time to spend time at the family, going to a movie or taking the kids out or even just sitting down watching TV with me for a while. But he could stay at that darned AA group till midnight every night talking with them old guys, you know. And I'd be home just getting more mad and more mad and more mad. And I think there's a don't in there. It may not be in that pamphlet, but it's in some of the ones that we read at our meeting that says, don't resent the method of recovery. And I did, because I didn't know any better. I'm not married today, but if I was, they could stay there all night long. They'd be fine with me. Got into recovery, got my kids into Alateen. I have two home groups, probably always have, but really today have two home groups, which I think are the best groups in Houston, well, maybe in the world. I'm also an Alateen sponsor, so we have an Alateen group. I even have two of my Alateens from the group. I don't think they're awake, but they're with me today. They were the little cute ones out there in the chair asleep. But I'm very proud that they're here with me and wanted to come. Let's get back to the guide. Because I didn't make notes because I could have 10 minutes worth of notes and I could talk for at least an hour on that. So you might have to just shut me off in a little bit. All of the things that the pamphlet talks about just hit home with me because, you know, I had no idea about this family disease. I thought it was a matter of willpower. And why could he just not stop? If he didn't stop on the way home and buy that six-pack or two six-packs or a case or whatever he got up to, you know, if he just didn't buy that stuff and keep it in the refrigerator, then maybe he wouldn't drink so much. And, of course, when we were younger, he could drink a couple of beers, six-pack, maybe even two. And he just got funny, you know. And then as he got older, he could drink a six-pack, and he wasn't quite as funny as he used to be. And then toward the end of his drinking, he could drink a beer, and he wasn't funny at all. And now I know that had nothing to do with my attitude. Y'all were supposed to laugh at that. Because I just didn't understand. You know, it took me months of coming. I had to come. The treatment center said if you want to see him the next 28 days, you have to go to this family meeting every week, and you have to go to two Al-Anon meetings a week. And I thought, what is wrong with them? I don't have a problem. I've got a bottle of sangria's been in my refrigerator for 4 years. I take a drink out of it every New Year's Eve. What do I have to spend an hour at a meeting for two times a week? And I learned. And I learned because of everything that everybody shared with me. I learned because of all those pamphlets. I didn't hide them as contraband. I had them spread all over the place. I had the do's and don'ts blown up and posted on my refrigerator. Because those were the things, the do's and don'ts in there and the slogans were the only thing that I could hang on to. My brain could not get all this. And, you know, I probably was here 5 years before I had a clue that maybe part of the problem was me. I'm a slow learner. I just celebrated 23 years. Probably in the last 2 years do I figure that I really have some kind of recovery that I can share with somebody else. And when I get the time, I'll give you a little synopsis of what's going on in my life. I call my phone the crisis connection right now because that's what it is this weekend. I just would encourage you to read the literature. There's so much in our literature that is so helpful for us. And if you don't get it, discuss it with somebody else. You know, take that pamphlet and sit down with somebody else and say, what does this mean? Because to me, it didn't mean anything in the beginning. Oh, I could get some glimpses of some of those do's and don'ts. But, you know, somebody said, there's a sign that says, think, think, think. And my sponsor said, those last two things don't count for you. I didn't know how to take it easy. I didn't know how to take care of myself because I had a husband. I had five children. My parents were both dead by the time I got into the program, so it was my grandmother that raised me. So other than an uncle that nobody talked to, I was 32. Well, no, I was 40 when I got here, but at 32, I was the oldest living member of my family. And so I was the martyr. I was the person with all of the solutions. And, you know, I thought Al-Anon was going to take all that away from me. And thank God they did. They did. You know, because today I can live for myself. After 5 years in recovery, our marriage didn't make it. And I don't say that to discourage anybody because I'm very grateful that I married another alcoholic in recovery because he taught me a lot about myself. He taught me that he's not responsible for my happiness. I didn't understand that. And in the situation that I'm in today, I can turn it around and use it on him. I'm not responsible for his happiness either. And how much time do I have? Okay, 1 minute. I will tell you today that my life is full. I'm divorced. All of my kids are grown. I raised 3 grandchildren. They're out of the house. So it was just me and the dog. And the last 2 years of my marriage, my husband was recovering from hepatitis C, going through a lot of liver trouble. And after $100,000 worth of credit cards, he decided to leave. So he did. And I thought I was devastated. And thank God for Al-Anon, you know, because I learned about myself. Today he's back in my home because he is in the last stages of cirrhosis. I took him back in January 1st after he nearly died. I've learned some compassion, which I didn't think I'd ever have, you know, and thank you for that. I left my house on Thursday to come up here with a car full of 7 people. And Thursday night he took himself to the emergency room. I know that some of it is physical because his liver is failing. Now his kidneys are failing, you know, but some of it is, what am I going to do because you're not here to take care of me? You know what? I have not packed my car to turn back around and drive to Houston because the nurses there tell me there's nothing you can do that we're not doing. Go on and do what you're supposed to do. And what I'm supposed to do is to be myself today, to be able to live in my world with my things. My biggest purpose is not to hurt another human being, but it is to recover from the disease of alcoholism. Because, see, that ism nearly killed me. And if you can get anything out of this pamphlet or anything else out of the literature that we have, I encourage you to focus on yourself. I know you've heard that in meetings. But really listen when people tell you that. Focus on yourself. You have a life. And it can be one of the most fulfilling things that's ever happened to you in your life, to let go and let God and let all those other people do what they need to do and take care of yourself. And have a good time, because that's what I'm having this weekend in spite of everything that's going on. And I'm just very honored to be able to share with y'all today. Very grateful for my Al-Anon program. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. We'll now open the meeting for if anybody wants to speak or comments. There's mics on either side, so please come up. Nobody?
Hi, my name's Debbie. I'm from New York City. This is my 7th Al-Anon meeting altogether. My first, and I'm really happy to be here. I feel very happy to be with everybody, and I was brought up with my mom. My sister was killed, and I was told that it was the wrong sister that died, and I've been feeling that I was broken for so long. And then when I was thinking about trying Al-Anon, I felt broken again because I thought, why do I have to come and fix myself some more? And I just don't want to be broken anymore. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eileen, and this is my first Al-Anon meeting. As you can tell, I'm also a blue, so I'm a double winner from what I hear. I love you, ladies. You know, the 4 M's, I wrote that down. That's me. And I'm a nurse, so I'm in trouble. I've been in, I'm an adult child of an alcoholic. My grandfather used to make bathtub gin, so it goes way back. But the disease has galloped through my family, and after the breakup of a relationship that I had been in, my daughter is 14 and she just picked up a drink and she's burning herself. with fire. Like, that hurts, you know. And, you know, we're, she's in therapy, but, you know, I also took her away from the situation and moved her up to my sister's for the month, at least, to try to just separate her from this situation. But a lot of it is I'm blaming myself because I put her in this situation. You know, I've been in a, I was in a relationship with a man who is also in AA. I don't know how sober he is, but, you know, he has Parkinson's disease, and he's not like bad Parkinson's. He's still, you know, a young Parkinson's. And, you know, I set him up with doctors because nobody would see him. I mean, the ultimate, martyrdom, the ultimate nurture, the, you know, nobody would take care of him. I did. I got him Social Security disability when most people, they get turned down twice before they are even interviewed. I got it for him in 64 days. I'm very, as a nurse, I'm very pushy when it comes to advocating for my patients. But I'm suffering in the end because he just got a bulk of money, and I signed a contract for a house, and he got his money, and he dumped me. He dumped me, and I'm stuck with this house. And I'm stuck with this mortgage payment. He told me to quit my second job, and I did. And I'm stuck, you know. I have a lot of codependency issues. I have a lot of serious, serious stuff going on in my life, especially with my daughter. You know, being in San Antonio again is kind of like bittersweet for me because my son graduated from basic down here in the Air Force, and then he was asked to leave the Air Force because he has a congenital heart defect. So, you know, I just feel like every time I chip away at something and take care of things that are going on in my life, 10 more things come and hit me in the head. And my girlfriend, Melissa, is here with her husband, and, you know, I need help. I can sit in an AA meet, and I can say I need help and not feel so bad, but I sit in an Al-Anon meet, and then I'm almost embarrassed to say that I need help because I'm the super strong mommy, and, you know, I'm the nurse, and I take care of everybody and everything, and I'm forgetting about me, and I'm scared to death, and I don't know what to do, and I have been, you know, isolating for the last 3 months in my bed. I go to work, and I'm a head nurse, you know, and I go to work, I go to an AA meeting, and then I come home, and I go to bed. So I'm not even participating in my recovery. I'm not participating in my own life, and I'm forgetting that I have two children. You know, and it's, I don't know what to focus on next. And, like I said, I'm scared to death. And this person that, I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with was actually a wolf in sheep's clothing, they tell me, is blaming me. It's, I flipped the switch and, you know, it's my fault, you know, and everything is my fault. And I'm actually absorbing that and believing it. And it's, I didn't do anything wrong here. I know that. I don't know that here. And I need to get Al-Anon in my life because I need to focus on myself. And I don't know how to do that because I'm so busy taking care of everybody else that, you know, I think the first speaker you said, he is not the focus of my life. And it's become that. You know, like, how could this happen to me? How could he do this to me? And, you know, how did I end up being with somebody like that? And I'm sorry, I'm taking up a lot of time, but I just need help. So I'll just, like, take all of your pamphlets. And
thank you.
Hi, my name is Patricia. I'm from Brussels, Belgium. Yeah. And I love conventions. You know, this is a great place to be. I'm really grateful to be here today among you. I've been in Al-Anon for forever, you know, and I'll be here forever. So, yeah, I welcome the newcomers. I really like to hear what you said because that really makes me go back 15 years ago when I was helpless and I didn't know what I had to do. My life was really chaotic. and unmanageable. And so, you know, you guys taught me how to handle me. And, you know, I thought I came to Al-Anon to fix the other person who is the alcoholic in my life. I got divorced too, and I'm sorry I was late. I didn't hear all the shares this morning, but I know what it is all about now today, thanks to the program. Eventually I got divorced, and I have a son who is now 24 years old. When he was about 12, 13, and that life of mine was so chaotic, and I was kind of, I felt responsible for that, for putting him in that situation. He started to drink, and very heavily, and he started to do smoking grass and stuff like that. Dropped out of school, very smart kid, isolated completely, and I was the one who was trying to fix him all the time. What's wrong with you? What can I do for you? And, you know, I was still in my early days of Al-Anon, because in the beginning I was in such a denial. I couldn't see my own disease. I just could not. And little by little, I started to read and read, go to meetings. I didn't share for 7 or 8 years, I think. I just listened. I just came back. I knew there was something in here that would help me. And eventually I started to, I divorced, and then my son wasn't doing any better at all. And somebody said to Patricia, you know, you really got to go into service. And I said, service? What for? Come on, you know. I don't need that, you know. I never need anything because I know better than you. This is my disease. Anyhow, eventually I got into service by doing little things in my group, and now I'm group rep. And I'm also a delegate on our conference. And I started doing that 2 years ago, and my life completely changed. You know, I missed that part of the program. You know, we have the triangle. It represents the steps. As for my recovery, my personal recovery, it helps me from suiciding. Then you have the tradition, which is like, it helps me from having a homicide, you know? I don't know about the concepts yet, but it makes me live in the society as a whole. So that's part of the recovery. And I must say, today, my son has been to AA a couple of times. My life is wonderful. I go to all these conventions. I meet so many people. I came here with my service sponsor who lives in Denver and, you know, invited me. I landed in Detroit with another friend from the program. We split our path for a little week, and I met up here again with other friends that we've known from before who are also in a program. And, you know, life is great. And thank God, you know, God is today my life, and God has been guiding me. You know, I thought I was above that, above God. And today I have learned what is humility and accept the things I cannot change and change the things I can. And I'm really thankful for all of you for having given me this. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Joan. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I'm from Westchester, Pennsylvania. This summer, I'll have 25 years in Al-Anon. 25 wonderful years in Al-Anon, painful years, but such a wonderful opportunity to change my life. I left my husband 25 years ago. I ran away the first time he hit me, and I knew nothing about alcoholism. We didn't have it in our family, and I knew nothing about blackouts or rehabs. It was a language that I was going to learn. So when I came into Al-Anon, someone suggested it. I was really, I felt like a sponge. I was really socially, morally, and emotionally bankrupt. I was in such despair. I just didn't know what to do. I take my children in one place and I say, I'm going to leave. And then on the way back, I'd say, I'll try one more shot. And that's how my life was for quite a while. So the catalyst really got me moving. And I heard someone already this morning share about waiting for someone else to make a move. I always felt afterward that I had made myself absolutely immobilized by fear, and I was really dead in the water. I had to learn how to make my own decisions based on my own thinking. When I left him, I knew it was going to be tough because I live with a man, everything is either black or white. I never really was able to stand up to that philosophy. And like most of us, I tried my best to keep the peace. I have four daughters, and as I said, when I left, I knew that I was going to have a tough time disassociating myself with this person, if that's what I chose to do. But I had no idea the problems that I was going to face with my girls. I started getting on with my life, thanks to Al-Anon. They, in turn, felt sorry for my husband. And, of course, I learned through the years that this was not unusual. But to me, I mean, wasn't I the biggest martyr? I mean, I thought I was Mrs. March, you know, of Little Women. My four girls were going to lay themselves at my feet and listen to every word with bated breath. Well, this is a program of reality if we want to get better, so I had to let it go of that idea. But it took a long time. And there were times when, because of situations that it dealt particularly with their father that were unpopular to everyone but me, I spent many times by myself. I like to think abandoned by my children, but obviously that's a harsh word. It was more like they didn't understand either. And there were Christmases when my Al-Anon friends were my family. You know, they were my family. Those people listened to me. They supported me. They understood. I could whine and complain, and they'd tell me to get on with it. They were perfectly honest. And I learned a lot from these relationships. And thanks to Al-Anon, I was told when it got really bad with anyone in my family, I would just write sick on their foreheads. And that way I would realize that they hadn't the help that I had. So this time has been a long journey, but I've come to love the journey. I've learned to make the most out of every day. And give it, if I have something that I'm in despair about now, when before I thought there was no hope, I allow myself maybe half an hour to beat my breast over the injustice of it all, and then I get on with it, because this is the only day I've got. Things also have gotten better with my daughters to different degrees, but I'm really proud to say that I'm here this weekend with one of my daughters. Her name is Susan. And we have had the best 3 days so far, just she and I being able to share. All those years, it was just platitudes. We never got into anything. Nobody knew what the other one was feeling. Could we ever share that? There's all this idea of misplaced loyalties. You know, I have to be loyal. I can't talk about one parent to the other. And if I may, Susan tomorrow will celebrate her 6 months in AA. That is a gift. That is a bonus. It has nothing to do with my recovery except that it's a bonus. And I'm told if I come and I try to help myself, the family situation is bound to improve. I truly believe that. I've seen it happen in my own life. And thank you so much for being here. And there are so many wonderful miracles once we get into this program, aren't there?
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Chris.
I am from San Jose, California. Just hop and a jump over. And I'm really glad to be there and glad to be here. And if you're ever in our area, we're very lucky in Santa Clara Valley, California. We have about 90 meetings, Al-Anon meetings, and English and Spanish and Alateen. And I understand that that's kind of unfounded in other areas. So if you're ever in our area, you know, just please look us up. We'd love to see you. I was just thinking about, I'm sorry, too, I missed all of your shares, but I was in the other room, and I could hear a lot of clapping. I could hear you guys laughing. I'm like, I am in the wrong room. I need to move. And I was thinking about the topic, you know, change the things we can. Is that right? What? Oh, a guide for the family of the alcoholic. Oh, very good. Well, I was thinking about changing things I can. And so, example, this morning, I am an Al-Anon, A, and I'm a woman, B, I like to change my mind on occasion. Last night I had plan A, but God told me to go with plan B this morning. I didn't get a chance to tell everybody that I had plan B. And so after we all got up and said our morning prayers, I thought that would be a good time to say, this is plan B. And my husband kind of flipped out. You know, my husband was part of Al-Anon, and then he went to AA. And now I'm telling all of you because he's not here, I really think he needs to go back to Al-Anon. So I tell him, and then he's like all flustered, right? He's thinking he's going to be the chauffeur for both me and my friend. He had this plan, you know, how we're going to do this. And so I threw in the little change thing, and he said, ah, you know, and then I was like, okay, well, you know, we have some choices here. I could take the shuttle. You don't have to drive. You know, we had kind of a not very good experience last night trying to get home and, trying to get back to our hotel. And so I'm sitting here, you know, he made some remarks to my friend, and his tone of voice wasn't very pleasing to me because his remark was directed at me. So we're driving, and I'm sharing my feelings, and he goes, oh, I'll apologize to her. And I'm like, well, what about me? You know, of course, I didn't tell him that. And so I'm here, and I'm listening to all of you, and I love hearing from new people. Because it reminds me of how far I've come. And, you know, so if you're new or you haven't been here very long, the thing that I have learned is that I can change. You know, the guide for the family of the alcoholic for me is a higher power. You know, and that was something that I wasn't really listening to when I came in. You know, I remember... I came into Al-Anon, and I saw the steps up there, and there was something about making amends. You know, I go, Miss Guilty, you know, I look at the 12th, oh, I better make amends. I'm the bad person, you know, I better say something, I better do something. And so I went to my religious practice, and I talked to a priest, and he said something very important. He said, why don't you try listening to God? I'm like, what? Listen to who? And what if God should talk to me? Then what? You know? And he said, I love what he said. He said, just sit down, pick out a place in your house, and just listen. And I was really afraid to do that. I really was. Because I was so busy paying attention to everything all outside of me. I was so used to that. I was looking for you, and you to tell me what I'm all about. I never thought that I would go to a higher power and that God would really truly show me that I just might be the miracle. And so I remember sitting there in my little corner. I remember going at home making a point, telling my husband this, and my husband at the time, you know, well, he told me to sit down and listen to God, so I'm going to start doing that. He's like, okay, whatever, you know. And so I'm sitting there listening, and we live in this little tiny apartment, you know, living room here, bedroom right there. And the walls were very thin, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to sit here, I'm listening. And, you know, what am I listening to? I'm listening to my husband get up, go to the bathroom, go back to bed. And I'm like, this is way too, this is only like, this is like not even 20 seconds. You know, so I said, okay, I'm looking at the clock, I'm just gonna listen for a minute. And it just, you know, I couldn't even sit still for 1 minute. And so I began to just practice anyway. I learned what it is I'm paying attention to, the alcoholic. I learned what it is I need to listen, who it is I need to listen to, all of you, and my higher power. And I knew that it was going to take practice, and it was not going to be easy. And over time, I began to really learn how to sit and listen. You know, I could sit right here, and I can continue to be resentful over something that happened, you know, an hour ago. Or I could be present and really recognize the gift that God has given me. My job is not to work my husband's program. My job is to work my program. So I'm just really glad to be here. Thanks.
Aloha, good morning. I heard that as a declaration. I love that. Yeah, and sometimes people go, good morning, and don't tell me what to do, right? Don't tell me how to feel. So that's kind of where I am sometimes when I'm not in my most high principled self, which I am most of the time because I have a most high principled self. And I have principles and a program, and so if I forget what I'm doing anyway, you all know principles. So that's so great, because I can get spotted by any of you. Look at you. You love me already, and I can see that, and I love you back. And you haven't done anything. You don't know my story. You can't love me. Yes, I can. And so my higher power tells me that I'm just a big beam of light, that I'm created in that image of love and peace, all that that I just felt us drop into. And that if you turn on a big wind machine and all that little paper and debris and junk hits you, it can't stick because it's not made out of the same stuff. But if they turn on a little wind machine and you all come in, you all stick because you're made of the same stuff. Sanity, beauty, compassion, resetting back to right mind. So somebody was having their morning this morning, and it reminded me of being in a family of alcoholics where they'd say, you know, you got to be on my time frame, and you got to be ready, and you got to be ready. I don't know who's ACOA. So I'd sit in the car for hours, and I'd finally have to get out and pee. And by the time I went out to pee, then they'd get in the car and drive away. So, so I've had a couple of opportunities to go, oh my God, that's happening. But today I have a program, and I can say, I'd prefer that you wait. I'll be ready in 2 minutes. So I learned how to request and inform from my sponsor. It took me a couple of years because I'd say, no, they'll punish me. And she said, no. Your job as an adult is to request and inform. Their job is to say no or yes or whatever they do. But so I learned to be an adult that way. And it gave me the courage not to be afraid to ask for what I need and want, because I'd say, well, I can't do that. And she'd say, well, that's your experience. You don't have to justify it. I love the phrase in here, Al-Anons don't justify, explain, or defend. We're valuable and valid, so is everybody else. But we don't have to. So what I did was I said how I felt, because it tells me in here, if you feel it, you can heal it. So I said, well, if I make my speaking and my feelings match. And I went, well, I said, I already informed, and I made a request, and then let my higher power do the rest of the reorganizing of the, because she has a higher power too. And it turned out so did the shuttle, you know? So there's like lots of stuff that starts to matter. We'll be right with that. Got room for another person, we're going to, you know, and it was, thank you. Thank you, higher power. Okay, that's pretty much it, except I'm in charge of resetting myself, and so I can choose joy. I got my little American flag on, I'm, you know, red, white, and blue. I got my own agenda. But what I'm thinking is they taught me there's a thing called emotion-backed demands. And if I ask for what I need and want, and I tell you my request, and I say it responsibly, then if I don't let it go, then it's an emotion-backed demand. Then it's me cramming it down your throat. So one of the hugest gifts I learned in here was, did you say it once, Ilana? And I went, well, yes, I did. And so I knew that it was, unless somebody said, would you remind me? And I say, yes, I can. But that's been a huge gift for me to get off of other people. And now I can say to them, I heard you the first time. I was listening. Thank you. Got it. So it brought me to a level of maturity that I think is such a freedom in this program. And my last thing is that last night, same thing was going on. I was tired, and you know, we're around a million people who all pray in silence. 75,000 people. Boom, man, what a trip. Who would have ever thought that the families of alcoholics would come here and say, this is the most spiritual group of people I know and most mature? Yeah? They didn't used to be, but they are now, and so am I. So I still have that little, I want you to approve of me, or I want you not to disapprove of me. And so last night, my higher power reminded me after I was leaving a late meeting that we had a long talk before, and I said, what do I do? How do I not take insult, whether it's intended, if it's intended, and how do I not take insult if it's not intended? And my higher powers, loving self, said, what's it to you? Follow me. Thank you. Glad the program's here. Aloha.
I didn't get you all. I was actually taking care of my, doing my little exercise this morning, and I just got caught up in it, so I was a little late. But family thing, very widespread in my family, grandparents, my father, and all that. And I married an alcoholic because that's what I thought you were supposed to do. You're supposed to marry a damaged kind of person, and you were supposed to take care of them and fix them. And so 3 years into my marriage, when I realized that, wow, this is really like more than I thought. I had 2 children already. And, you know, just very calmly one time when I did exactly what my mother used to do all the time to my dad and when they would go out, and that is beg him not to get drunk that night. And, of course, he would, and they would have their fight, and the next day they would get over it, and we'd have this little dance that went on. So it was actually, my husband is Irish, and it was St. Patrick's Day. And I did the same thing. I begged him, please don't get drunk tonight. We have 2 kids. I have to get up in the morning. Oh, no, no, I won't do that. Well, of course, totally got drunk next day. It was the most incredible thing, though, because I was so calm the next day, so calm. And I let him go through his hangover. And that night, I can just remember where he was sitting, and I just looked at him. I mean, yesterday we had a thing about choices, and they said, you have a right to make a choice. Well, I felt as a mother I'd had an obligation to make a choice. And I said, I will not drag these kids through this life. Won't do it. We're done. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go, but we're done. And very luckily, the next day, he had a friend who had already been sort of settling the path for him at work. And, to the grace of God, he did go to him and say, I think I need to go to one of those meetings. So he did, and things definitely got better. But after 3 months of him getting better, I remember sitting down with his sponsor one night when he had dinner, and I said, I think it's really great that, things have definitely gotten better. But you know what? I am so sick of everybody making such a big deal over him getting sober. And nobody says anything about me. And I'm the one that stuck with him through the cocaine and the drinking and all this kind of stuff. And he said, you need to go to Al-Anon. And I've learned that when people love you and that you trust them, when they tell you to do something, you just don't question it. You just do it. And I grew up in a family where we never asked for help. We could do it all our own. And that was my thing. I don't need any help. And when this whole thing happened with the alcoholic and all that, I realized this is bigger than what I could do. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I think there's probably a lot of nurses that are, Al-Anon people. But anyway, because we love to take care of people. But last night at the meeting, the last gentleman said when he went to his first meeting, there was a guy that came up to him and said, you know what, you're too stupid to know you need a sponsor, so I'm going to be your sponsor. And I thought about that later, and I thought, well, I would change that with arrogant. And I thought, I was too arrogant. My family was too arrogant to know we needed help. And so when I finally got past that and said, I need help, there it was. And it just changed everything. And in terms of, the family, I think the proudest, and I will say proud, that my family did not grow up with not knowing how they felt. We would have family meetings, and everybody got to say, this is what's happening. And, it was very powerful because even like an 8-year-old could say, well, I don't really like it, and everybody, it was a safe place, and everybody was respectful of each other. And we got to kind of guide that. And then as my children got older, they all started doing different things. And for a while, one would say, well, she's doing this and she's doing this. And my son would say, well, and so finally I wrote a long letter to all three of them. And I said, you are going to have the relationship with each other that you choose. One day your father and I will be gone, and it will be the three of you. And how you conduct yourself with each other is your choice. And here's the deal. You're all going through different things in life. And everybody has their struggles. Instead of belittling each other and criticizing, why don't you cut each other some slack? Everybody's going through something. Understand you're not the only one. So, I think the family thing, to me, the thing is, it taught me as a woman that I had an obligation and could make choices, when to seek help and get advice and follow through on that. And how to conduct my family in a loving, caring way so we could have that mutual regard and respect. So thank you to all of you, because it is you who taught me that.
Hi, everybody. My name's Chip. I've been an Al-Anon member since November 24th, 1989. And I'd like to share what I'm going through today so everyone can understand that I got through the first generation, second generation of alcoholics in my family, but now my mom's grandkids are in the picture. And my mother has been an Al-Anon member for over 20 years. My brother Kenny's been an Al-Anon member over 20 years, like myself. And my lady friend, who's with me today, Bev, she's going to have a year in Al-Anon in September. Well, what I want to share with you is something that happened 20 years ago. My wife, she died 10 years ago from cancer, but she died sober. And when she first got into AA, her AA sponsor said, Chip's not the type of person that can understand when you talk. You have to write him a letter. So she wrote me a letter, and I must have read that thing 36,000 times. And everybody in Al-Anon in Cincinnati heard about this letter. I wish some of my friends from Al-Anon, I know they're here, but they're not in the room. But what I want to share with you today is I did the same thing that my wife did 20 years ago. I did the same thing a month ago. I wrote my family a letter because they, even though they went to Al-Anon, they were in denial about what these grandkids were doing to my mother. And there were 17 things that these grandkids had done to my mother. And I'm happy to say that it worked. I think my own mother, my brother, the whole family came out of denial because they were able to read that letter over and over and over. See, if I had tried to communicate with my alcoholic family and my non-alcoholic family, all they would have done is got angry. And I tried talking to them, and they got angry. So the reason I wanted to come up here is to share with people, you know, there's two ways to communicate. One's talking, and the other one's writing. And I think writing for my family works better. And that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
My name is Cindy, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you for my freedom today. When I can't help but to, my heart goes out to the newcomers who shared. When I first came into Al-Anon, I felt like I came in with a broken heart. It's the only way I can describe it. But I was broken, you know, like someone else had said. And at that time, I'm a single mother nurse, and my son was 15, and I was having a hard time deciphering behavior changes. And in the meantime, I wasn't sure if I was going through this empty nest thing. And I just have to say that I came in, and I felt like I was a drill sergeant, but I didn't want to be. I don't know if anyone has ever felt that. I never wanted to love someone so much and did not know how to show that affection towards somebody I wanted to love and hate at the same time. And my son was always the love of my, you know, the bright star in my life, you know, he's my baby. And I'm so grateful today because he just turned 21, and over the years, I learned in Al-Anon that, you know, he was homeless and just had, we had a, just years of, grieving over the dreams that I had for him, you know, and the man he is today. And I love the man he is today, and he is using. And, without Al-Anon, I would not be able to love my son because I would be so focused on the disease. And I would, you know, and the walls would come up, and that separation in that alcoholic family, it's just, you know, the criticizing and self-righteousness and judgmental, and, you know, and I don't feel that way today. I look at him, and I know that God loves him 100%, and God loves me 100%. I don't get an extra dip from God because I'm not using. And that's one of the biggest blessings of Al-Anon. There's many, but I just wanted to share that one. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jessie, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I'm a snowbird, so I come to you from Port Townsend, Washington, and Fort Myers, Florida. I'm really touched by the newcomers also, and it really takes me back to when I first came into this program. I come from a long line of alcoholics, and I didn't know that when I was growing up. Everything was a secret in my family, and you know, I've had to do the archaeological dig to find out about the history. But I was raised in an alcoholic home, and was really groomed there with everything that I needed to choose an alcoholic as a husband. And after I was in that marriage and had two children, I really started to try to learn what I could about alcoholism because I knew I was married to an alcoholic. And what drove me to my first meeting was a piece of literature that I had picked up at our local library. And I read for the first time the description of what that book called The Co-Alcoholic. And I was struck with fear. I was struck with fear because there in black and white, I was reading what I knew, and that was that indeed I was sicker than the alcoholic. And that fear drove me into my first Al-Anon meeting. And that was October of 1974. And I'm really thankful today for the life that that I have because of you all that have taught me how to live live a life of honesty and to live a life that is focused on myself. Growing up in an alcoholic home, everything was a secret. And, you know, and I took those behavior patterns with me into my own family. And I have two boys, and when I was going to do an intervention for their dad, I was sitting on my son's bed. He was 12 years old. And I'm talking to him about this intervention, and he said to me with these big eyes, "I didn't know Dad had a drinking problem." So you see, I had taken that pattern of keeping secrets, and I had brought it right into my own family. You know, I was stunned when he said that to me. And I had some years in Al-Anon by that time, you know. But you know, today I have 9 grandchildren, and I'm pretty sure at least 3 of them have got the gene. You know, we're watching them there, but they, you know, I'm pretty sure they're going to be interesting ones. But you know, with my grandchildren today, I play a little game that's called Let's Tell Secrets, and. You know, and I'm able to talk with them about what it was like when I was growing up, things that happened in the family, things that happened with my mother that, you know, at that time I never shared any of that stuff with my brothers. I have 3 brothers. We never talked about the incidents, you know. And but I talk with these things now about with my grandchildren because I've learned from you that we're only as sick as our secrets. And I thank you that I've got the courage to change and hope that I'm able to pass some of that on to the next generation. Thanks.
We have time for one more.
I'm Melissa from New York. I remember coming in about 2.5 years ago into Al-Anon, and the first few meetings, I was like, oh, my God, I have all the answers, all the solutions, and I wanted to shout it off from the rooftops that the whole entire world needed to join Al-Anon. And in relation to the family dynamic, my husband is my qualifier, and I wanted to reel in his mother, his father, and his brother, and my parents, and everybody should come to family therapy with me. And that was frustrating because that was, okay, now I'm not trying to change my husband, but let's try to change the whole family and let me get them on my bandwagon and let them learn this language of how to speak to my husband so they don't mess things up. And that was me transferring my control onto them, and it was frustrating because I said, I have the solution. You could just come. It's your son. It's your brother. You should want to do this. And finally, like, something clicked. This is not my job to make them better. You know, this is me again trying to fix somebody else. So I really truly put the focus back on myself and said, no matter what, they're going to say stupid things. They're going to, you know, maybe throw monkey wrenches into conversations where I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my God, why did they just say that? But that's not my job to fix. The only job for me to do is to fix myself. When I came into Al-Anon, I couldn't tell you what my favorite TV show was, what my favorite movie was, what my favorite color was, because everything was, well, my husband likes this, and my husband likes to do this, and we like to do this, and I had no identity. And that scared me. I didn't know who I was anymore. Everything was just completely focused on him. And the beauty of the program is I've gotten to learn myself. I've gotten to formulate my own opinions and have my own relationships and friends again, and allow my, you know, qualifier, who thankfully is sober now, to live his life too, and we could live our lives together, but we can, you know, focus on our recovery separately as well as, you know, walk the same path next to each other. So the family dynamic, you know, they said, I remember in the outpatient program, is that one alcoholic can touch 7 people. I don't need to focus on that. I just need to keep the focus on fixing myself and getting better. And if other people like what they see and are attracted by my new behaviors and my healthiness, then that's the beauty of the program. If it's attraction rather than promotion, and if I can, you know, touch people in that way, that's the way it's supposed to be, not for me to shout it from the rooftops that everybody needs to join. So thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to be part of this, and I'm just so proud that, you know, my husband is in recovery and I can be part of this. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank the speakers again. It was really great. And thank you, everybody, for sharing. We'll close with the Al-Anon Declaration.